Welcome to the NQF Resource Use Measure Specifications and Criteria Work Group event. Please note today's call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to Ashley Wilbon. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone, especially those who dialed in from California. This is a pretty early morning for you guys. This is our second call, and we're hoping to be able to get through as a continuation of our call last week to review the submission items, the list that we put together, and the side-by-side table with the criteria, and make sure that, one, that everyone agrees on what the criteria is. We did a little bit of moving around of some things as we kind of put together the list of submission items and want to get everyone's opinion and feedback on that. And we'll see what we can get through today and hopefully have some recommendations by the end of the call that we can put forward to the full steering committee for their review and ultimate, I guess, approval for that. So before we get in too much, I guess, this is Ashley. And with me I have
Sally Turbevo
and Sarah Fanta.
So I'm just going to do a quick roll call just in case some other people got into the conference while we were transferred in. Is Curtis Elward there?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Okay, great, Kurt. Welcome. David Redfern?
Present.
Okay, hi, David. Lisa Graybert?
Present.
Hi. Dolores Yanagihara?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Dolores.
Hello.
Paul?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Jack Needleman?
Here.
And Bill Rich?
Here.
Okay, that's everybody. Great. Thanks, everyone, again, for joining us. I just kind of want to get everyone oriented to some of the materials that we sent, and I apologize for us getting them out so close to the call today, but we had a pretty quick turnaround from last week's meeting, and we were really trying to get the materials to a point where they would be useful and, you know, to guide the discussion today and try to be as inclusive as we could given the time that we had for the call today. So hopefully during today's call we'll be able to go through them enough so that you guys are comfortable, familiar with them, and can provide some feedback. So we sent you the obviously the agenda for today, a summary of last week's call as a refresher for that document. If you guys have any if you review that and you find that we missed that anything or that something else should be emphasized that, you know, that's not maybe emphasized, please let us know. In the email that I sent, you guys can, like I said in the email, you guys can send your feedback on that by Monday, and then we'll try to get that updated and actually probably eventually send that out to the full steering committee so they have a record and an idea of what has been going on in the work group. The other document that we sent was a draft submission form items list, and essentially that was based on the recommendations from the last call for you guys to have a list of items that would be requested for each of the criteria. So we looked at our current measure submission form to see for overall structure, but essentially wanted to make sure that if we had our dream submission form, this is the items that would be included in it and how we would be requesting that information. So it's really just in a list form at this point for bullet points, with bullet points. And hopefully we've if anything, been maybe a little more detailed, and then if we need to cut back or combine things, we can do that. Also, the third thing that we sent and what we'll probably focus on during today's call is a side-by-side table with on the left side, which is a white column, the actual measure submission items, which should be for the most part similar to the list for the previous document I discussed. And those are in side-by-side compared to on the right in the gray column with the evaluation criteria that was proposed at the steering committee meeting. And so I think that should be up on the screen now. And what we'd like to do during today's call is to go through that and in the side-by-side just look to make sure that the criteria is something that's agreeable for you guys, and then two, is what we've proposed for submission items to meet that criteria sufficient, or would you want something else to be submitted? Have we articulated it in the right way, and so forth? So any questions about that before we move on to that? Does that sound like a good place to start, or?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so the question I asked, so the submission items on this form that's up on the webinar now, those are the same submission items that are on the draft submission form, but they're in the same order, I guess. They are pretty much the same.
Not in exactly the same order, only because the list, the Word document with all the bullet points on it, there's a little bit more on there, I would say, and the order is a little bit different because we literally listed everything that would be on the submission form, including the resource use definition, and there's some other items that we didn't include in this because it wasn't directly related. Well, not necessarily directly related, but
well, I guess what I'm getting at is
it should be pretty much inclusive, but there may be a couple things that aren't on there, but they're minor things.
It seems like we ought to have a clear idea and are agreed on the submission criteria before what's going to be on the submission form before we discuss the criteria for evaluating them. And if they don't quite jive, I'm saying this is going to make it a little bit complicated because we're going to need to look at both documents to see the submission items.
Right. So I think, and I worked on these documents yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that everything that's in the list, minus maybe a few minor items like code, I can't even think of an example right now, should be there. So we wanted to really give you guys a comprehensive list based on what the criteria was so you would have all that information together in one place. But
I mean, was that Paul who was talking?
Yeah, yes.
I'm still trying to get familiar with voices. This is Sally. That is one way to approach it. Our concern is that we also need to get buy-in from the criteria, which in some ways also informs the submission form. Again, it's that circular kind of process that we're in. If others would like to start with the submission form, that certainly is one approach. And then we could jump into the criteria, and if we have to follow up with another webinar or through email, we'll just go ahead and proceed that way. Any thoughts from others on the phone?
Well, I'm willing to go with the, this is Paul again, the form, or, what's up on the screen, that we have submission items and criteria, and that we just, use that document.
Okay. Let's see how it goes, and if it looks like what we need to do is revert back to the Word document with the bullet list, we're more than willing to do that. The document with the bullet list really is an expansion of what all of you reviewed on Friday in thinking about how we would phrase it for submission from the measure developers, but all of what is included on that document that are relevant to how someone would go about evaluating the resource use measures are included in this side-by-side table.
So, okay, with that, let's try to work our way through this. I'm gonna just kind of gloss over the first page, which is essentially just the four conditions for consideration. That's generally something that staff looks at, so I just wanted to make sure we had a comprehensive look and that everyone understood that those four conditions have to be met. We'll move on to page two, starting with the bottom of page one, or maybe at the top of page two, actually, the last bullet that's highlighted with the strike-through. Helen mentioned at the in-person meeting that because of the most recent time-limited endorsement policy that the board put through, I believe in December or November of last year, that complex measures are not eligible for time-limited endorsement. And time-limited endorsement usually applies to measures that testing has not been completed. So I put a strike through that and highlighted just to kind of call the attention that measures submitted for this project will have to be fully tested. And all measures will be considered for, I don't want to say, we don't usually use the word full endorsement, but they will be endorsed for a three-year cycle.
Ashley, this is Dolores. On the measure submission form, under NQF conditions part D, I'm wondering if you want to take out that last sentence because it applies to the measure stuff.
Yes, you're right. Thank you, Doris. Okay. So moving on to importance, again, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. We didn't change a lot in importance in terms of the proposed criteria specifically for resource use measures. The criteria 1A essentially is a direct, the submission items that are there for 1A are essentially directly lifted from our quality form. So that hasn't changed much. Moving on to 1B, that also was pretty much a carryover from our quality form and nothing really changed there. 1C and 1D were additions for proposed additions for resource use measures. 1C is the purpose and the objective of the resource use measure, including its components and the construct for resource use or cost, are clearly described. And for this, we would be asking for them to describe their measure intent and its components and the intended use of the measure. And 1D also, which is new, the criteria would be that evidence about the measure purpose, justification, and why it is important to measure. This evidence should inform why a measure is constructed in a particular way such that scientific acceptability can be further evaluated. And the corresponding submission information would be that they have provided evidence and justification on why this is important to measure. So are there any comments or feedback on those additional items that we're proposing? Or maybe?
This is Kurt.
Hi.
Yeah, just a clarification. In terms of their validation, I think we're likely to see some resource use measures that have been used in one population, or maybe a couple, but not in a lot of them. So how much are we expecting them to provide in terms of testing in various situations?
Well, generally on the quality side, if they have to provide testing for any population that they're saying the measure could be used in. So I would assume that would apply, Sally. What do you think?
Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I guess the one I'm thinking about is if they... If it's been tested in a relatively small population, it may be very good. But is it? I guess I'm wondering whether we will require a certain generalizability, at least to enough population that it makes sense to include. If it's just in, your white males between 40 and 50, I'm not sure it's worthwhile taking a quality measure. I mean, that's an extreme, obviously, but I'm just wondering how much, in what breadth of a population should these measures be validated or tested?
That's a very good question. And I think some of it, like you said, in a very narrow population, such as what you mentioned, it would be hard-pressed for them to show external validity or this that would lead to generalizability. I think when it starts to get a little bit fuzzier, when they're using very large populations, but they want to expand it to something that might be similar, but it hasn't been fully tested, I imagine that would be something that the TAPs and the steering committees would take into consideration on whether or not the quote-unquote denominator should be limited to just what has been tested, or whether or not they're meeting some kind of threshold of external validity for their measure.
Okay. I guess one of the ways I'm thinking about it is if it's been proven in a commercial population, will it necessarily apply for a Medicaid population?
Right. That's an excellent question. And I think, I'm sorry, does someone else have a comment?
No, go ahead, Sally, then I'll chime in after.
Yeah, I think in general, we want it tested in the population. That's the rule of thumb. But certainly, we rely heavily on the judgment of the measure developer and for them to provide rationale why they think it could expand. And then the ability of the steering committee to feel comfortable in making a decision about that.
Right.
It's my initial thought. Dolores or Lisa, was it Dolores?
Yeah, Dolores. Yeah, I think it's this area is going to be a challenge because, like, for example, the measures that we're working on, we're testing them for a physician group level. And, you know, I'm not in a position to be testing it for other populations, and I think it may very well, like, measures we're using probably would apply to a lot of different populations. There's no reason it wouldn't, but for me to actually test that and produce that data to submit along with a measure submission, I just don't know that that's realistic to ask people to do. So I think it may end up kind of being a judgment call, would this generalize to a different population or not?
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone have any specific feedback about 1C or 1D? And then we'll move on to scientific acceptability, which is really the bulk of what we'll want the feedback.
So the I noticed poor performance is in bold, and wasn't somebody have a concern about that?
Yeah, you're right, and I just noticed that we need to update that language based on the steering committee meeting, so I apologize. That we did change, it was like considerable variation and some other language here, so we will update that. Apologize for the oversight.
And this is Paul again. So I see there's footnotes 2, 3 on 1D, but I don't see, those numbers don't seem to point to anything, and I'm just wondering what.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing.
Yeah, those footnotes point to instructions to the measure developers. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when we're putting the document together, we were kind of moving things around. So I apologize if some of the footnotes aren't showing up right now, but we were kind of using a previous document to form this one. So we'll make sure on future iterations that those are accounted for.
So in that particular one, it's just restating the criteria. I'm not sure that we've really come up with a criteria here for its evaluation.
Are you talking about 1D?
1D, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the purpose, obviously, you know, there could be something about the measure's purpose being clearly articulated and the justification or the measure's consistent with what's the justification for using it,
why
it's important. Yeah, and I think there's some issues about, you know, importance. We ought to think about is the population generalizability, which is one issue, and then sort of the scope of the resources that are measured. So if it's a criteria that's too fine a subtotal and doesn't get to the total cost, then that would be something that would limit its importance. I imagine there's other dimensions that we need to think about in terms of importance. But certainly the scope of costs that are covered and the types of population that it's been used in or can be used in. What else?
Right, and so those would all be...
I guess the other thing
covered, yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is that it's actionable information, and I guess that's in here.
Well, that's its own criteria, usability.
Okay.
So this is just as it stands, as the measure is described. Not looking at the specifications yet, not seeing if the specifications meet what they say it's going to meet, but the topical area and how they're describing they're going to measure, is that important?
Well, feasibility to me speaks to the issue of can you construct the measure, and what I'm thinking about in terms of actionable information is there something to be done with the measure once you've got it in hand?
Right, and that's usability. There's a separate criteria called usability. So can the measure be used to support decision making, and that is its own criteria.
All righty, great.
Yeah.
So importance in any case. Great.
Yeah. So whatever focus the measure is looking at, is it considered important in improving the healthcare system, and in this case around resource use?
Okay.
And if it doesn't meet an importance criteria, then we don't evaluate it on the remaining criteria. So this is a yes-no for the steering committee and the TAP. So let's say they decide to measure a resource use area that has no variation and is low in cost, and no one has ever showed that it's important, but for some reason the measured developer put it forth, maybe it was easy for them to specify. It wouldn't even be evaluated if it didn't meet this important threshold. It'd be kicked back.
Okay.
Can I make a couple comments about the measure submission form again and how it relates to these, or actually it's kind of more the form itself. The measure intent under importance seems to kind of be redundant with a question that's asked in the beginning section on describe the intent of the measure, what it's supposed to be measuring, and why it's intended. So I'm just wondering, it's kind of under the specifications descriptive information, I'm wondering how that's different, like how you would, what kind of different information do you expect to get there, or whether it should be eliminated one place or the other. And then the second thing is, I'm struggling with what's the difference between the summary of evidence of high impact and then the evidence about the measure purpose justification and why the measure is important, because I think one of the reasons why the measure is important because it's a high impact area. So I'm just kind of struggling with, again, what different information you'd find. It seems a little redundant to me.
The intent of this 1D being teased out is that it gets more to not just the topical area, but the measure itself, and it would be a tie back for evaluators when they're looking at scientific acceptability. So in order for a measure to truly be valid, right, it needs to not just have appropriate statistical properties, but it should be measuring what the developer intended it to measure. So okay. A is, I think, the demonstrated high aspect is more a topical area. This area is important to measure because it's known to, whatever, have high variation and costs are on a rapid exponential trend increase, for example. 1D is more about this measure, as you stated, its purpose, evidence of how it's going to inform based on the way it's instructed. So it's a little bit more geared towards the measure that's being specified, and again, allowing for a tie back to the validity. So okay. I guess on the quality side, there was some experience with, you know, someone saying, it's really important to measure quality outcomes, process outcomes for people with diabetes. And then they say, and we're looking at high blood pressure, and this is an absurd example, but there have been situations not this absurd, but then the measure itself isn't even looking at blood pressure. It's looking at foot checks for people with diabetes, which is important, but that's not what they said the measure was intended to measure.
Okay. Now, that totally makes sense. I think it's just a matter of maybe adding a sentence description or something. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Fair enough.
Was this Dolores or Lisa?
Dolores.
Okay. If I was correct, you were talking comparing 1A and 1D. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So 1A is really, the bullets there are really just a checklist. So it's kind of giving, kind of just a reiteration of kind of what Sally was saying. 1A is more of like a checklist of like tell us generally like what area it fits into, and then the thinking was that 1D is actually them explaining with some evidence about, you know, within that area why it's important. So I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, no, it does. I was actually looking at the measure submission form. There it says a summary of evidence of high impact. So it's not just kind of checking off what area of high impact, but kind of summarizing the evidence around that, and then you're asking for evidence for the measure purpose. But I see the difference now. I think it's just maybe adding a description there in the submission form so that's clear what you're looking for and how it's just, yeah.
Okay. What page on the submission form are you looking at? I'm sorry.
Page six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, and we welcome all comments on the submission form. We realize, at least for us, because we've been looking at this so long, even though it's our attempt to be as clear as possible, we may still be a little bit as clear as mud. So,
all right, so let's move on.
Okay, so Moving on to scientific acceptability, and again, this criteria is focuses on the specifications and reliability and validity. So in 2A, what we've done is the criteria for 2A was an existing criteria for quality. We've just changed the word to relate to resource use, which is bolded. And the submission items that correspond with 2A are these, I won't say the general specifications, but things like obviously the description of the measure, the more descriptive specifications of the measure. And then as you move on to 2, and what we've done for the more the list of specifications that we reviewed on the last call, so within those 5 modules, we basically made, I guess if you will, sub-criteria. We're going to have to figure out how we either renumber or letter them. But from moving on from 2A, and then they go on to 2AB, 2AC, which address the data protocol, the clinical logic, and so forth. So I guess let's go ahead and start with 2A. And any feedback on if you feel like any of the descriptive measure specifications meet or you feel like something's missing there. We've got a description of the measure, the type of resource use measure. Those sub-items were taken from that spectrum that we went over in the in-person meeting.
And where we see other, they will have to list. As a FYI.
Right, and I see here we've actually relisted the intent of the measure, so that, if you want to highlight that, just, I think we were kind of struggling with where to put that, so we'll have to fix that. A type of score, I think we would like a little bit of feedback on that just to see if some of these would or would not apply to resource use measures. Data source. Then we go on to ask for a data dictionary and code table, the interpretation of the score, level of analysis, health services for which the costs are being measured, and that's not an exhaustive list, so if you guys have any feedback on additions there, that would be helpful.
You've forgotten the real obvious, like E&M codes and stuff like that. You have all the odd ones, but none of the real ones. Yeah, that's the right one.
I noticed the same thing. Instead of others, I mean, that's going to be a big chunk of...
Right. No, it's not even near a complete list.
Yeah. Just to jog our brain of what's supposed to go there.
Yeah. Outpatient.
That's not what I meant. Okay.
Cover a lot just by putting outpatient office-based services that include office-based diagnostics, EM consults, and things.
You're in caps lock.
Hey, this is Lisa. I'm confused. The stuff that's listed under 2A on the left-hand side, do those also apply to quality?
Some of them, yes.
Okay.
Many of them, yes.
So we don't have the side-by-side for quality and resource use, just to orient myself?
This doesn't have the quality on it at all.
No, we're just looking at resource use, yeah.
Where did I go?
It's down.
So some of those same things need to be put in the part, this is Paul again, they need to be evaluated for feasibility. Right?
And that gets evaluated separately in some ways.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just trying to think about. So we're just talking about the scientific acceptability part right now.
Mm-hmm. Right, and for 2A, and this is the 2A in quality too. The first step is that the measured developer can provide a precise and detailed specification that would allow for it to be comparable, so that the steering committee and TAPS have a clear idea of what the specs are. And so where we can provide checkboxes, like what are your data sources, we're doing that. And then they also have to provide links to data dictionaries or code tables, which would be the diagnostic or CPT codes that are required for the measure, et cetera. And so then as we scroll down into scientific acceptability, you'll start to see the testing information that they submit, so their actual statistical analysis of the measure. But step one is give us a specification that's detailed, precise, and can be implemented consistently. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Level of analysis we were thinking potentially gets at to attribution, and that would be one way to think about to which organization will this be attributed. Does anyone see any other function for level of analysis?
This is Lisa. I don't see another function for it, but in what's listed under level of analysis, I think it needs some additional specificity.
Such as?
Can you give us some examples?
Such as facility. Is that inpatient, outpatient, skilled nursing facility, home health? Do you have definitions behind these terms?
Yeah, what is this?
No.
What is
not right now.
Yeah, for individual, are you talking about physicians, nurse practitioners, therapists?
There's headers that go with this. It got lost in the bulleting. So a header is clinician, and then sub-bullets are individual, group, other. Then there's a header in the – so I apologize. The headers got lost.
Do you have a definition for group?
Physician group?
Do you have a size definition for physician
No.
group? These are the kinds of questions that become really important under attribution.
Well, these are not to define the rules of attribution.
It's just to give.
They would still have to provide the rules behind the attribution in the specs. This is just what is the level of attribution you envision.
Do you think we need separate levels of analysis for an integrated delivery system and a multi-site or corporate chain?
Who are you asking the question to the group?
Sure, whoever wants to respond.
Yes, I think we, this is Paul, I think we do, because, I mean, it depends on what you might want to do. You might want to evaluate different levels in the system. Whether you want to do all of these different things is another question, but I think we would look highly on the measure where this has been used in all different kinds of these analyses.
I think patient-centered medical home accountable care organizations sort of fit into that rubric, and I think a lot of people are interested in doing measures in those units of analysis, so I think that's appropriate.
So all of these things are listed here because we're just saying, is the detail provided, this is the scientific part, is the detail provided on how it does these things?
Well, this particular section is really the descriptive, the more descriptive part of the measure. So just to kind of give the boundaries for this is the level of analysis, this is what we're measuring, this is how we're measuring it, but the details really of the measure really come through once we get to the actual the modules that you discussed on the last call, as well as the reliability and validity. So this first bullet for 2A is really the more general descriptive specifications of the measure. And, and as you look forward, you can see it gets more specific as we go.
So the type of score, I mean, one of the scores obviously we might have is a cost per person or cost per capita. And
right, and that's a
maybe
good
that's
question.
That's a continuous variable. I don't. And then there is this idea of an observed versus expected ratio.
Right. We tossed that question around, and I would welcome the input of the group, whether to keep these more generic titles and maybe give examples, you know, like an observed to expected ratio, continuous variable, maybe that is where like a per capita or PMPM type of dichotomous could be maybe there's and score is either high or low or above or you know high or not.
On this kind of specification, I would recommend not really trying to be all inclusive in a big list. I would put some what we think are sort of high frequency, most likely options, and then just say etc. Because I think the submitters are going to be able to figure that out. You can really get yourself into a mess when you try to enumerate everything.
Right, agreed. This list is the standing list that we have now that our database currently captures in a checklist. And so, you know, one of the nice things about these checklists is for users, once the measures become endorsed, they can actually search on these functions. So let's say they're interested in a measure that looks at individual clinicians. They could select that as an option. Let's say they're looking for ratio type of scores. So are there any of those listed on the type of scores, to David's point, that we think we should X out? And are there any egregiously missing? Or can we just, do we think we can leave it as is and maybe provide some guidance, some examples, just a few here and there for the measure developer so that they can try and click the right type of score button.
Yeah, I think examples would help. Definitions would be better.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Well, somewhere, you know, the idea that we're thinking about cost. Well, you've got that PPM there that you wrote that on the on the screen. Cost, continuous variable per capita per member month.
I guess.
I guess the other thing I'm struggling with this whole section is that we have like 2 pages of criteria and only one sentence of evaluation descriptors of the measure and only one sentence to evaluate them. And one could see for each item, you know, something specific to score, something specific to data source. Although the well-defined, precisely specified, yes, could be applied to these, but there's probably, you know, specific concerns to each of these questions.
Right.
And so this is to guide us in the future. Is that right? Is it also guiding the submissions?
It is. So we need to make sure for all the criteria that are outlined that we're requesting submissions to support that criteria and evaluate that criteria from the measure developers. So that's, you know, kind of the purpose of the side-by-side. We can't have a criteria and then not be requesting information from the submitters, and we shouldn't be requesting submission information that aren't being evaluated.
Right, so my only question is, does it make sense to go through each of these and come up with more specific criteria than just to say, is it well-defined and precisely specified? Or do we want to drill down a little bit and beyond that?
Anyone in the group have any thoughts about that? Go ahead, sorry.
Ms. Bill, I think it would be desirable to do that, but as Dolores mentioned earlier, I don't think these developers are going to have the testing or the data to answer questions, reliability, scientific. I just don't think the testing data is going to be there. I mean, that's something Jack talked about last time. But it would be nice to do that, Paul, but I don't see how they're going to do it.
Well, so like the type of score one, I think one of the issues is there a benchmark? And I don't know, maybe that gets to the usability part.